The Business Buzz Podcast. The Business
Buzz. Good evening and welcome to the Business Buzz right here on VOFM 88.1 for your weekly dose of business, finance and economics news. My name is Muriwa Mob Justice Gavaz and I'll be your host until about 8 p.m. It's that time of the week where we give you a roundup of the week's top trending business economics news and we tell you how the world of business affects you and your pockets. So definitely make sure you keep it locked. As I said earlier on, we're going to be here until about 8 p.m. So what are we talking about today? We are talking about the digital, using digital media to boost your business. We're talking about digital media strategy. We're talking about what it means to operate a business in 2019 in the digital media revolution, commonly known or referred to officially as the fourth industrial revolution. So that's what we're going to be talking about how the fourth industrial revolution or the 4IR is affecting the way that people conduct themselves, the way that people actually buy and sell their goods, the way that businesses actually interact with their customers and the way that customers interact with their businesses, because it's not a one-way street anymore. It's literally a feedback loop, and a lot of the pieces that are in place actually show that we have to a large part democratized a lot of industries because of the online space. So that's what the hour is going to be looking like. We're going to be having a telephonic interview and a discussion with Conrad Travis David, who is the founder and MD of Hashtag South Africa, together with Tebatso Molapo, who is the founder of Rebasadi, which is on the fourth industrial revolution. And we're also going to be talking to them about how you can use digital media to boost your business. Also coming up for the next hour, we're going to be having our business wrap. That's a part of the show where we give you the week's top trending business and economics news. And then we're also going to be giving you the Buffalo Index as we let you know what your 100 Rand can do for you today on the 14th of March 2019. Also coming up for the next hour, you can engage with us. Let us know what some of your thoughts are. We are going to be using digital media for the engagement, also known as social media. Remember that on Facebook, you can catch us. That's VOFM or Voice of Vids. And then you can also get our other Facebook page. That's the Vids Radio Academy. On Twitter, we're at VOFM. And then our hashtag is hashtag business buzz. Our WhatsApp line is 0840784912. And you can also stream the station live on vofm.co.za. Remember that podcasts of the Business Buzz Show are available on vids.journalism.co.za, and you can also find us on iTunes, Iono. We have our own separate pages over there. So make sure you keep it locked. We're here until about 8 p.m. This is The Business Buzz.
You're tuned in to The Business Buzz.
It's time for us to engage on the week's top trending business and economics news. And on the line, we're joined by our financial expert. We have Zanele Kunene, who is from BDO Wealth Advisors. How are you, Zanele?
Yo, Mujiwa, I have no idea how I am. No idea.
Is it one of those days?
It's one of those days. Mm. But, no, I'm even out of breath. but I do know how the mining and manufacturing did.
That much.
I do know. So let us look right into that. So the results came out of the mining and manufacturing, and in December, just to give a bit of background, in December we had about a 0% growth, right?
Yeah.
And now in January, economists are saying that our growth would be at about 1.2%. They were so wrong, because the results came out and we actually did about 0.3% growth in January. And the reason why it's very important for us to know about the mining and manufacturing is because mining, like gold mining and diamond mining, is one of the biggest sectors within our economy. You know, we earn quite a lot of foreign exchange earnings from that. And a foreign exchange earning is basically the monetary gain we get from selling goods and services.
Yeah.
By exchanging currencies to global markets. So it was really, really quite bad. The news was really heartbreaking because we saw its impact as well on the rand, because the rand grew weaker. If you look at the rand right now, we are trading between like 14 rand 20 to 14 rand 50, and that is really quite weak, because this data also shows us the pace in which South Africa's economic recovery is at. So it shows that we're not doing really well in terms of our economy, but it's still early days. We're not writing it off completely. And another I could say a worrying thing, something we could worry about, you know, always an inch of worry in our lives. Investors are actually looking for riskier assets, you know.
Really?
What more riskier is it than to invest in an emerging market?
Yeah.
But now they are putting their money in gold and in gold is not risky, but they're looking for other sources and they're not investing within emerging markets right now. And it's quite sad because we are the most industrialized, you know, economy of Africa, you know. We should be, you know, doing the most. But looking at the fact that we have a really poor growth output in terms of in 2018, our GDP was at about 0.8. The World Bank cut its forecast last year for 2018, 2019. So really, we're not starting 2019 in the best way, to put it that way. And we even have the upcoming elections happening. You know, we've got Eskom that's doing the most. They want load shedding again. It's like, my goodness, why? Mujur, let me ask you,
yes.
Which sector do you think is going to be our saving grace?
Oh,
because
wow.
Mining and manufacturing is, you know, it's going through something. Who do you think? Which sector?
Hey, that's a tough one, but I think at the moment I'm going to go with telecoms off the top of my head, just because a number of the operators like MTN and Vodacom are operating successfully outside of South Africa and actually getting some dividends into the country. Otherwise, apart from that, I can't really, you know, think of anything else. Actually, there is another one. I guess it's manufacturing to an extent, but I think motor vehicles, you know, just because BMW, VW, and Mercedes-Benz export so much to the rest of the world, so that brings in, you know, there is the money. But apart from that, it's very weak. And with 0.8% growth for 2018, I don't know, you know.
Yeah, but I'm quite glad that you touched on, like, outside of South Africa, because if we look at Brexit, right, a lot of people are like, oh, Brexit has got nothing to do with us. No, it's got a whole lot, guys.
Please tell us.
You know, because the AU is South Africa's most significant trading partner in terms of the fact that they are the largest importers of South African goods. So we make quite a lot from, you know, our fellow Europeans. So, and another thing I also learned about it was the fact that if let's say Brexit does go the other way, right? A lot of the European companies, their headquarters are in the UK.
Yeah.
So if Brexit goes the other way, those companies are going to have to relocate, and that is costing. Yeah, that's very expensive. So if they have to relocate, that means that some people are going to have to be unemployed or retrenched. Let me say there's going to be quite a lot of retrenchment happening. So it's like, whoa. So what happens to all the other companies that they have? You know, what's the impact on them? Another thing that I also read about was the fact that the international trade agreements that we have, they're going to have to be renegotiated. So we might not get the kind of deal we are getting now with them. So it might not, you know, be in our favor. So it's quite important for us to have that world outlook of what's happening out there, because that does impact us and it does give us an outlook of where are we going to be in 2020, 2021, you know, what is going to happen with our country, you know?
That's a lot coming from Zanele. She's telling us the fact that Brexit might become a thing, because if I understand it correctly, it's the 29th of March. Is that correct, Zanele?
I believe so.
She's telling us that by the 29th of March, we might lose or may not lose one of our biggest trading partners as South Africa. But before we particularly end, something you mentioned just now, because I want to go back, is just the issue of Eskom in terms of, some of the growth. I think for our listeners out there, what do you think the investment community, is thinking about Eskom? Because I think all of us, we're crying about load shedding, but for businesses out there, I think they are crying on about different things.
I think in terms of businesses, you must understand that Eskom supplies 90% of our country with energy.
Yeah.
So if it's not supplying that, a lot of businesses are going to experience, tough times because they aren't able to deliver. Eskom also mentioned hiking up the tariffs. So if you are, let's speak about SMEs, because SMEs are really the best way, I believe, that South Africa will be able to grow its economy.
Yeah.
Even SME is going to have to pay higher tariffs in terms of the electricity. It means they won't be able to expand as much, or maybe expansion is not going to be something that is key to them at this very moment, because the running cost of the business in itself will be high. So we need to also think about in terms of how is it our going to grow our economy if our small businesses are not able to even function or be able to think of expansion. So Eskom is not only hurting households or schools or big corporations. They might even limit the expansion within our SMEs. Eskom could really bring South Africa down. In a nutshell.
In a nutshell, so that was us on the line. We're talking to Zalinde Kunene, who is a financial expert from BDO Wealth Advisors. She is telling us the fact that manufacturing and mining data has come in a bit soft. I think that's the word I'm going to use. And we touched a little bit about Eskom. And as you heard from what she was talking about, Eskom is quite a bit of a risk for the country. And if you look at a lot of the reports out there, Eskom remains to be one of the biggest economic risks for South Africa, especially in terms of the growth outlook for the rest of the year. And then the last thing, she spoke about Brexit, just around the fact that we as South Africa, it might be happening, thousands of kilometers away, but Brexit is going to affect South Africa, especially because both the UK and the EU are big trading partners of South Africa. So any instability in that region will affect a number of South African businesses. So that's it in terms of our business wrap. Up next, we tell you the state of your 100 rand with our Buffalo Index.
Mob Justice on the Business Buzz.
It's time for us to tell you the state of your 100 rand on our Buffalo Index. And for today, because we're talking about digital media strategy, operating a digital business, or operating a business in the digital revolution, I thought that perhaps I would look at some tools that a person might be able to use as a way to drive their business forward digitally. So the first is Facebook ads. If you are a business, or if you're an entity or a brand, and you're looking to promote yourself on Facebook, your One Buffalo can actually give you reach of up to 600 people per day, for a particular post that you have on Facebook. Alternatively, and that's if you say that's at One Buffalo, but if you're doing it at 10 rand a day for 10 days. But if you decide that, no, I want my Buffalo to actually give me the most coverage in just one day, you can actually reach 4,000 people just from a boosted post on Facebook. And then moving on to getting that knowledge, because for you to operate a digital business, you actually need to understand what's going on in the digital media landscape. And I thought two books from the same author, that's Gary Vaynerchuk, or Gary V as he's known online, might be interesting to everyone out there. The first book he wrote is a book called Crush It, and the second one is called Crushing It. I've personally been through Crushing It, and he actually gives step-by-step instructions, examples, case studies of how people have been able to leverage various various social media like LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, and Instagram stories just around how people have been able to grow different types of businesses because of on the different platforms that are available out there, because some businesses are best suited to some platforms and some strategies are best suited to some platforms as well. So both of those books will cost you around 2.5 buffaloes, coming in at around close to $20 US each, but in South Africa you're looking at around 2.5 buffaloes. And then, you know, for a more formal experience, UCT is actually offering a digital media and business course that actually starts at the end of this month, running for about 8 weeks, and you have to put in about 7 to 10 hours per week. That's according to what they're saying, and the cost of this is just around 135 buffaloes, which translated is about 13,500 for 18 weeks of learning in a university context what it means to operate a business in a digital media environment. And then lastly, because we've spoken about, you know, promoting yourself on social media, we've spoken about equipping yourself with knowledge on social media, I guess now, how do you get yourself popping? How do you get yourself trending? How do you get your posts lit? And one of the ways that people do it is by having a lot of people in their posts, in their selfies and the like. And there's actually people that are offering these services. You can actually rent a crowd. Basically, you can have people that come in and take pictures with you just for that. And you, and these people are going at a cost of around 2 buffaloes. So that's around 200 rand. And you can hire someone to come and pose in an Instagram selfie with you. So you see, we're giving you consumer advice, we're giving you useful advice on how you can actually succeed on social media and operate a digital business. So that's it in terms of our Buffalo Index for today. On the other side of this, we get into our main topic.
You're tuned in to the Business Buzz.
Welcome back. This is the Business Buzz. Remember that on Facebook, you can find us. We are VAU FM, that's Voice of Vids. And you can also find our other Facebook page, that's the Vids Radio Academy. And remember that also you can find us on Twitter. Our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz, and our handle is at VAU FM. Right now, it's time for us to get into our main topic. So, remember that there is actually no doubt that digital media has widely shaped the way that many businesses function of late. More and more businesses are moving towards establishing a solid line, a solid online presence, because it makes it easier to connect with their potential customers. And of course, because we spend so much time on our gadgets, mainly on said social media, you know, Facebook, the Twitter, the LinkedIn, many businesses are infiltrating these platforms by running ads, gathering influencers, and also running campaigns to capture all our attention. Many of us have witnessed the recent interesting trend on social media called hashtag Woolies Water Challenge that has taken social media by storm. If you haven't, I suggest you stop now, whatever you're doing, go there, check it out, come back. You know, just now, we'll be here, we'll be continuing with the show, but you need to see this thing. So if you're well informed with business news, then you definitely know that Woolworths has been suffering a lot of losses with their business internationally, and they've branched out into like the Australian market of late, but also locally with international, some of the international brands that they have, such as David Jones, for example. They've been having a lot of challenges in their business. But with the recent challenge on social media, it's actually brought a lot of positive energy to their business. And I think I was actually saying to some people the other day that I think whoever the branding team at Woolworths is, I think their ancestors must be answering their prayers so hard right now, because that hashtag Woolies Water Challenge came at just the right time. So we're going to start our discussion on the line. We are going to be talking to Conrad David, who is the founder and MD of hashtag South Africa, just around some of these issues. How are you, Conrad? Hello, Conrad?
Hey, how's it going? Evening, listeners.
So, Conrad, thank you for joining us on our show. Can you just tell us a little bit more about your agency, hashtag SA, and some of the brands that you've possibly worked with?
Yeah, sure. So I started hashtag South Africa back in 2011. It was around the same time where we heard about the National Development Plan for South Africa and where our country and the planet was working towards. I saw the opportunity in digital, and while everyone was focusing on products and services, very few was focusing on the country. So I just threw a hashtag on a spoon, wrote the word South Africa, and then created the social media accounts. And then we ran out there in the marketplace and started getting businesses and government and small businesses to start using digital media. It's 8 years. We turned 8 years this year.
Really?
Yeah.
And what are some of the trends that you've seen over there, that amount of time? Because you've probably been in business longer than some social media platforms have been.
Well, it's quite interesting. Today I got to go for an event where I got to see the Egyptian government come down to South Africa. You know, when we started our company, Egypt just went through the revolution. So we got to see transitions like that. I got to see, you know, the transition in Zimbabwe with Mugabe. You saw that as I see the recession take place. We managed some of the campaign accounts when the drought situation took place in South Africa. During the last presidency, we worked a lot with the government. I was there for the transition with the new president of South Africa, the president of the ANC was elected in. So a lot of pinnacle points in South Africa's history, I've been able, fortunate enough to be there. I've always tried to surround myself around the elders of South Africa.
So
that could be on the ground, right where they are, so that when they're making decisions, I'm there to pick my hand up and be like, yo, we can do that.
Mm. So can you just give us a sense of what it means on a day-to-day basis to actually run a digital agency? Because I think some people at home might be sitting there saying, listen, I've got all these platforms and I'm helping my church, or I'm helping of my charity groups to actually run their Facebook accounts, etc. What are you doing, on a professional level?
On a professional level, we look at the different aspects. We look at from a digital strategy. Firstly, when we lead a client on a campaign, we ensure that they're following that roadmap while also taking into consideration that things change online and ready to create content that comes out there. Also spend time with the digital designers on brainstorming, on working on content calendars, looking at things that we're going to execute. I always work on the CHS strategy of foundational content, informative content, and developing content. So we're always working on informative and foundational content at first, and when things arise, we're able to push out developing stories. A lot of time is also spent on the advertising aspect. So we look at the advertising spaces. Are we pushing ads in Facebook from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., or is it from Twitter from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. On Instagram on a 24-hour basis? So each social media platform is like its own television channel. Everyone might have all these accounts on their phone, but they're looking at a difference in unique times. So what we try and do is ensure that we're reaching them, we're getting the message out there, we're being creative in the content we push out. And over and above that, it's also looking at the analytics. So look, from putting the creatives, putting the money in advertising, now analytics is we understanding the data that's coming back. Who is actually liking what we're doing? Is our videos as impactful as we thought they are? If not, how are we adjusting our content going forward? And then we try and bring it all the way back again to strategy. So it's always progressive. It's always developing. It can be stressful at times, like every other job, but I tend to be quite disciplined, get the teams to work on specific things in the day while also being on their phones on a 24-hour basis in case things arise.
Yeah.
And no 2 days have been the same these past 8 years. that's one thing for sure.
So you've actually mentioned a lot of things. You're talking about how each social media platform is like a different TV channel. We spoke about advertising, and you've also started talking about a bit of content. So for you, what are some of the core services as hashtag SA that you actually offer when it comes to digital marketing? And how does that differ from a traditional advertising agency?
So traditional ads, they tend to work on a creative campaign. Now, traditional, I'm talking about TV, billboard, print. They create the campaign, they work on their focus groups, and then they distribute that content.
Mm.
With social and digital media, we've got to be able to get the same type of stuff pushed out there, but also be able to be in a position to see what responses we're getting in real time and adapt to that environment. So it's kind of like working in the stock exchange, but instead of us making dollars in rand, our content is our currency. So coming back to the services we offer, you know, I focus a lot on our core being social media, but digital marketing is that, where we execute on social media platforms. Look at yesterday, Facebook and Instagram were shut down. So all those people that spend all their time trying to build up their followings on those accounts, then they forget about all the others. You know, we were on Twitter, we were on YouTube, things were okay for us. Then there's also the advertising aspect. So we take ad budgets for clients, we take a percentage of that, and we run ads across platforms. That includes also search and mobile apps. Spend a lot of time with strategy and consulting. So companies that have and government departments that have teams in place, we would work with them, you know. Sometimes when you introduce a company, there's someone there like the IT manager or marketing manager that's like, no, you got this sorted. They feel intimidated. So we break that ice by going in from, look, we want to work with you. We're a fresh pair of eyes. We have a global perspective on how we execute campaigns. You know, we don't just look at what someone's doing in Pretoria and run a campaign in Joburg. We look at what's happening in Tokyo, what's happening in Italy, what's happening in New York, San Francisco.
Yeah.
And also training. I've personally trained over 19,000 people across
the country. Oh, wow. 19,000?
Yeah, man. Over these 8 years, you know, NDP, the focus about educating and empowering, the effort of going out there and equipping across our 9 provinces, also up into Africa. And now I'm at a point where I've digitized this course and putting it online. So, you know, I would normally charge about 10,000, 15,000. Per delegate, depending on the workshops and environments we are in. I also did a lot of free pro bono work over the years. So this course is going to be like 8 weeks, breaking through advertising, marketing strategy, analytics, how to put your own content calendars. And I'm looking at putting it out there for at least about $100, sort of 1,400 rand. So, you know, if I've done 19,000 people personally, I'm sure online, I'm definitely hoping to reach at least 1,000 people in these next 3 months.
So with all of that in mind, I think we often hear about the fourth industrial revolution being touted left, right and center. So why should businesses actually have a digital presence? I feel like you might be a bit biased, you know, given what you do.
No, not at all.
But the follow-up was just going to be, should all businesses be on social media or have a digital marketing strategy?
You know, I want businesses, or if those people are if they're listening, if they can go and look at who their immediate competitors are and punch it on the internet, and if they find these accounts, then they're already on a back foot. You know, a few years ago, I went to a financial, I think it was an accounting firm, and he came back to me and told me, look, Conrad, you can't be on social media. This was 2011. You can't be on social media because there's authoritative bodies in South Africa that doesn't allow us to give advice online. I'm like, look, dude, you're not giving advice. You're just creating a point and presence for you online. And because they failed to do that, their competitors ended up taking chunks of the market in that province, in that country, I mean, in South Africa. So they were trying to play catch-up the past 2 years ago. So it's not whether it's time to get on board. It's like, how fast can I catch up with where I've been left behind? You know, this fourth industrial revolution, things have changed. You know, businesses are sort of in the garages are booming up. People that have simple products and services are listing them online and e-commerce platforms. And the beautiful thing is you don't have to restrict yourself to one country. If you're targeting in South Africa, maybe a physical product or a service that you're delivering in person, sure. If not, you can always fly there. A product, we have logistics, we have ships, we have planes. You can get a product to another part of the world in 24 to 48 hours.
Mm.
And there are people out there that have disposable income that are buying things. I'm sure you spend a lot of time or spend time in one of the crazy stores or under the 100 rand stores and bought ridiculous things, right?
Yeah.
And there's an opportunity there. So when you're an entrepreneur, we're now looking at things from the other side. We're consumers ourselves, but we're consumers with a different mindset, and we can understand now when things are brought to our attention, do we choose to buy this or not? So you've got to put on a capital of hats right now in this fourth industrial revolution. Social media and the internet is just one spoke on this entire wheel.
Yeah.
You know, we've got automated cars that's coming up.
Yeah.
We've got artificial intelligence and robotics that we're going to see in the next decade in people's households. And social media, and these search-based platforms are platforms for us to reach an audience of people. You know, yesterday I did a video commercial for my brother. He started 2 years ago. He got bought by a public company. And I created a video commercial for him. And a video commercial in 2 minutes can say more than a 20-page document.
Oh,
and
wow.
We've got to understand that. You've got to see how much time people are spending on WhatsApp or on Facebook while the TV's on. It's all about people's attention. And right now, with social media, we have that access to tap into people's attention and persuade them. Not for wrong, but in the right direction.
Now, I think something that on social media that has definitely been grabbing people's attention is the hashtag Woolies Water Challenge.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I feel like it was one of those things that, given everything that the company has been going through, was sort of like a welcome reprieve. So we wanted to maybe get some comments from you, because it wasn't something that the company dreamt up. It's sort of something that they ended
organically happened,
and then they reacted to it. So we wanted to get your thoughts just around how the company actually reacted to this viral video, and why it's important for business to actually engage with their clients online, to actually build that online traction.
Yeah. Look, you know, we monitor and engage with things in South Africa, but we had a lot of attention taken out of us this week with Brexit and things that are happening in Europe and in Asia. But from what I basically saw is brands should create these platforms and create a way for them, for the consumers to engage. You know, so Woolies commented and they retweeted and shared a few things. Those people just generally went to the store, recorded a video, and shared it. You know, imagine if someone's going to do that for a barber's shop or for a bakery business, and they're commenting about you and you don't comment back. You know, it's just going to be a closed communication. Now that this communication is open, the brand is communicating, more people are probably going to go into the store now, purchase water just to do the mix-up, this video for themselves, or as you saw, the one of the milk as well.
Yeah.
So they're going to see some product line items increasing sales.
Yeah.
And that's what it economically comes down to. But then again, big brands, it's just another way for them to humanously engage with people out there.
And then lastly, I think we've all, you know, we've chatted a lot just around what the benefits of marketing as a brand or as a company are on social media and creating that digital presence, whether that's through social media or just having a website or an online presence. But equally, there is the other side where brands can actually be torn down. You know, what are some of the ways that you think businesses can actually protect themselves on online so that they aren't, can I say, victims? Or
Well, I think brands need to realize, like, we're living in an age of transparency now. So if they've done corrupt things behind doors, it's going to come to light eventually.
Yeah.
Maybe by a disgruntled employee or a customer that purchased a sour milkshake, for example. You know, you got to be able to equip yourself.
Yeah.
You know, when we started out in social media back in 2011, I would go to companies and businesses and institutions and tell them, look, we want to work with your social media strategy. They'd be like, oh, no, our IT manager deals with that. Because an IT manager is no more about cabling and so forth. But with social media, we have to educate them and talk about it, understanding the psychology. It's got to understand how the emotions of people, the types of responses that we need to have in place, preset beforehand in case A, B, and C happens. Brands also have got to have that red file in place for crisis management. If this happens, then they have these type of responses. If they're a courier company and someone delivers a package poorly, they should have certain responses and actions in place. So it's all about if this, then that. And brands now are seen to be not more vulnerable, but they've got to be a lot more robust. That's why a lot of companies are taking digital in-house rather than giving it to ad agencies anymore, because they've understood the importance of the ecosystem of how brands and marketing is taking place. And yeah, it's a brave new world we live in.
So that was us on the line with Conrad David. As you heard, it's a brave new world that businesses are traversing right now, especially in terms of online marketing, having a digital presence and social media. Thank you so much to him. The big takeaway from what you heard is the fact that if you're a business, you need to go online and actually find out what your competitors are doing. If they have a presence on social media or online, then you are behind and you need to do a lot of catching up. It's important, it's a thing, and the way that you engage is very important. Another big takeaway, especially coming from the hashtag Woolies Water Challenge, you heard the fact that he's talking, saying that the way that businesses react to some of these things is very important because it's an organic thing and you also need to be able to respond organically. And then at the same time, in building your brand, you need to make sure that you're transparent so that people don't end up breaking you down. So that's it. Thank you so much to Conrad. He is the founder of Hashtag South Africa in business since 2011, having taught more than 19,000 people so far. Up next, we're going to be talking to Tebatso Molapo, who's going to be letting us know what it also means to use digital media to actually boost your business. Keep it locked. This is the Business Buzz.
More justice on the Business Buzz.
We are talking digital media strategy. We're talking doing business online. We are talking having a digital media business. And remember that you can also engage with us on digital media. On Facebook, we are Vow FM. That's Voice of Wits. And you can also find our Facebook page, the other one, that's the Wits Radio Academy. On Twitter, we're at Vow FM. And then our hashtag is hashtag business buzz. Continuing with the conversation, we're joined on the line by founder and managing director of Rebasadi, which is translated as We Are Women. She is Tebatso Molapo. How are you, Tebatso?
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Good,
For some very weird reason, like, I really try to avoid it. Radio interviews make me very nervous. Very nervous.
Really?
All the time.
Oh, wow.
For some very weird reason.
Interestingly enough,
thank you for having me.
I'm gonna put Tebatso on the spot right now.
Oh my god! Just when I mentioned
because you know when I was told that you're going to be part of the show, I remember saying, "Oh wow, is that Tebatso?" Because I used to actually work with Tebatso at Rhodes Music Radio when I was still under the name Just Mob Justice on its own. You know, so I'm really glad to be having Tebatso on the show. How are you, Tebatso?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
No, alive. So for our listeners who might not be familiar with you, can you just tell us a little bit about what Rebasadi is about and some of the services that you actually offer?
That you offer.
Mm.
So I'll start by introducing myself.
Yes.
I'm Tebatso Molapo. I actually went to one of my first radio interviews.
Mm.
Was with Vow, so it's very great to be back here,
mm.
knowing what I'm actually doing. So Rebasadi has, we're recently very much into events, but looking at where the fourth industrial revolution is headed.
Yeah.
I had to go back to the drawing board and say, how do we actually leverage our social media and while at the same time still doing what we are here for, which is to empower women. So we are now fully turning into an agency that offers digital services for young female entrepreneurs. So basically social media management, content creation, influencer marketing, email marketing, so that businesses can thrive, but at a cheaper price.
So outside of actually having that business, you are also known as, I think it's a new term to a lot of people, especially people that are older mm-hmm. than 35, you're also known as an influencer and have actually worked with a number of different brands. Can you give us a little on that?
So I last year, before I transitioned and decided to do things differently, I'm an influencer. That being an influencer basically means you have the capabilities and the abilities to actually convince people to buy into things.
Mm.
So some of the amazing big brands that I've worked with, which has been a privilege and honor, is VW, Ford, international brand called Cleese, which is a watch brand, and as you think in South Africa, quite a number of brands, surprisingly, in a very short space of time. Yeah.
I think, you know, since we're talking about being an influencer, you might be able to maybe either dispel or confirm a myth that I think a lot of people out there have. When it comes to actually getting work with the brands as an influencer, does a person necessarily need to have 100,000 Twitter followers and like a million people on Twitter and all of that stuff? Or is it more around engagement and how much of a community you're able to build around your brand?
It totally depends because brands are looking for different things when they approach influencers.
Yeah.
Some brands are looking for visibility and other brands are actually looking for actual sales. So when it comes to visibility, they'll obviously approach your big influencers who have like lots of followers. But when they're looking for things such as sales, they'll go to the people who actually have influence, to people who have the money to spend. So, like I said, last year I had a lot of followers, I had over 20,000 followers. And this year I started a new account, and my main focus is actually focusing more on engagement and being able to ensure that whatever that I'm selling is actually seen, and it's not just the numbers. So there are different influencers. We've got your macro influencers, who are people with big numbers, but don't necessarily mean that they will guarantee sales. And the new thing that is actually happening now is the introduction of micro influencers.
Yeah.
And micro influencers are people who actually hold the power, because people believe in whatever that they're saying. And it's not just like, oh, we know that you're posting this because you're getting paid for it.
And then... And then as we go on, you know, using, you know, that particular influence that you've actually been able to garner outside of working with the brands, how have you found it to have helped you in terms of your actual business as an entrepreneur?
It helps, like it generally helps the business grow. So what I did particularly, I grew my brand as an individual on social media.
Yeah.
So I became very lovable to people. Like, you know, they loved me. So once that happened, when I started business, I introduced people to my business. You won't believe, my business actually gained 700 followers in a month, in a space of a month.
Mm.
You know, and
those are
ever
good
since,
numbers.
It's just been like, as an individual, when people can relate to you online, it's easier for them to buy into your business. And when people buy into your business will flourish. And like I said, we're moving into the fourth industrial revolution, and it's very important that people kind of like just get it together on social media. Get it together for real.
So can you let our listeners just know what your business actually does and how the followers that you do gain, actually they actually help you on a practical day-to-day basis actually move the business forward?
Mm-hmm. Most of my clients I've met on social media. Most of the women, actually all the women that attend my events, I've met on social media. So it definitely drives like meeting people on social media and then physically being there in your business. And the wonderful thing is like the fact that people get to trust you as a business. You know, it's not very easy to sell yourself on social media because people are like, what if you're a scammer and whatnot. So it's only for real, like a lot happens on the internet.
Yeah.
But yeah, most of like a lot of conversations I've had with women online has actually helped my business be driven forward, you know,
And would you say there have been any negatives of actually operating online? I think a lot of people have this perception, you know, on social media, people always show the best sides of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But just on a practical level, do you find that there are either challenges or negatives that actually come from that?
The issue with social media is that the word can spread like in 10 seconds. You know, if you offer someone horrible service, they can just go post about it and people don't even have to experience the service, but they just like already make assumptions that, okay, that's terrible, you know. But I think that people need to understand that like with any business, a business has its ups and downs,
And as business owners, we want to give our level best, but it's not always possible. And before going online and bashing a business, think about what it will actually do to that business. So talk to the person first. Try and find out, like, what's going on. Is everything okay? And then maybe if they're taking long to respond, then we can go that route. Which is a horrible route, like.
And how do
terrible. Oh my God.
And it's actually something that we asked our previous guest, is just how do you protect yourself from that? Because you can't necessarily stop people from actually making negative comments online. So how do you actually protect yourself or advise people to protect themselves and, you know, their brands?
Yeah. My biggest advice, like, I learned this from Nando's. Like, I've always been a huge fan of how Nando's does things.
Yeah.
You know, how they're always dragging them about their price.
Yeah.
And maybe coming back with that, like, humor angle, you know, obviously depends on what type of business you're running. It's either you make an apology and get off the internet. Make your apology, leave. Because even with places on Twitter, it's sensation, you know.
Yeah.
A conversation will go on for like an hour, 2 hours, and then after that they forget about you.
Yeah.
So the best thing is to, like, literally just be off and not comment, because I realize a lot of people have that problem of, like, wanting to defend themselves, wanting to do this, wanting to just simply, hi, can you please hold your inquiry to what?
Yeah.
And I'll get back to you. That's my advice.
Okay, so you sort of fight the negativity with, can I say?
Yes, with silence.
With silence. Okay.
Or
cool.
Humor.
I like that. So you clearly have a lot of, you know, different insights just around what it means to grow on social media, create your brand, protect that brand. And we hear that you are actually penning a book called A Guide to Instagram to actually help the masses understand these things. So can you tell us just a little bit about the book and when we might be able to actually get it off a shelf?
It's not going to be a physical book.
Okay, digital.
Even though I have been thinking about, like, making special copies.
Okay.
It's going to be an ebook.
Okay.
And it's going to be out on the 5th. And basically, it'll focus on everything Instagram, because I feel like that's my forte. So taking the perfect picture, editing it, how to grow your impressions and audience on Instagram, and what everything means, obviously, and how to approach brands. Because I think what people don't realize is that they think that brands always go to influencers. Brands don't always go to influencers. You as an individual can actually walk up to a brand and say, I have this particular concept.
Yeah.
Can I please have free things? Can I please have money?
Yeah.
And they've got money to spend on. I'm not sure. Now, they've got lots of money to spend on marketing and advertising.
Mm.
You know, so yeah, that'll be some of the things that I included in the ebook. It was inspired by, I see a lot of Canadian and American influencers are actually being very helpful because they understand where the world is moving. And it would be very interesting to have a South African take, you know, on how it actually works, because I've been in that space for quite a while. So how you can get hold of the book, you can just DM me on Instagram at JustTJUSS. And your email address, and I'll forward you the details. It's a very cute book. Very Instagram-y. I'll gain a few followers after this.
Actually, what made you actually, you've told us what inspired you, but what made you actually choose to write a book? Because I think I've actually seen a number of influencers on social media. Mm-hmm. Some people will do, let's say, blog posts just around how to correctly take pictures, how to understand the algorithm, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
And then other people will do, let's say, YouTube videos, a series just around that. So what made you decide that you're going to use a book as your medium of instruction?
I've always been a writer. If you Google my name, you will find like 1,000 blogs written by me. I need to take those down because some of them are really embarrassing. And so I've always been a writer. And one of my goals this year was to have the title author to my name.
Yeah.
So this is definitely an entry into my writing career. Expect more. After a couple of years, I'm going to move to France and write a book for 5 years and appear again. So I just love writing, and I think it's a very personal way of communicating with people. And obviously, when it's in a book format, you can give more information as opposed to when it's a blog, then people have to wait a long time for you to maybe release part two of the blog, part three, and whatnot.
Mm. So you want to give them all at once?
All at once, like have it, use it, use my brain.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much. That was us on the line with Thebatso Molapo, who is the founder and managing director of Rebasadi, which is translated to We Are Women. She is an influencer and the author of The Guide to Instagram, a guide to Instagram. As you heard, you can DM her and she'll be able to give you some of the details to that book and how you can actually acquire it and get it and access it. So thank you so much to her. Big takeaway from me from what she was talking about is actually being able to take your following and move it towards actually leveraging it to move a product or business and actually gain clients that way. And the other takeaway was just how to deal with negativity on social media. I think a lot of the time there's can I call it that feeling of always wanting to clap back, to fight back when the negative comments come. But she's saying that she personally fights her battles a lot of the time with silence because it's always going to die down. So that was it. That was us with Thebatso. On the other side of this, we come to the end of the show. This is The Business Buzz.
The Business Buzz.
So that's it. That brings us to the end of the show. Thank you so much to everyone who was listening. Thank you to our guests. We just came from talking to Thebatso Molapo, who is the founder and managing director of Rebasadi. She is also a social media influencer and the author of A Guide to Instagram. We also had the privilege and honor to talk to Conrad Travis David, who is the founding man and managing director of Hashtag South Africa, just telling us a little bit about some of his experiences doing digital marketing and online media strategy over the last year, 8 years since 2011. So very good insights coming in from there. As I said just now, my big takeaway, especially from Thebatso, is just the fact that negative comments sometimes on social media, well, you know, fight them with silence. You don't always have to clap back. And then from Conrad on the same point, he's saying that as a business, for you to avoid some of the negativity, you'd rather be proactive by being transparent on the social medias or in the way that you conduct your business. So that's it. That brings us to the end of the show. Remember that you can engage with us on social media on as Vow FM. On Facebook, we are Voice of Vids or Vow FM. And then you can also find our Vids Radio Academy Facebook page. On Twitter, that's at VowFM, and then our hashtag is hashtag BusinessBuzz. Our WhatsApp line is 0840784912, and you can also stream the station live on vowfm.co.za. Remember that podcasts of the Business Buzz show are available on vids.journalism.co.za/business. So with that, we come to the end of the show. Thank you so much to our team, our technical producer is Kutlwano Sirame, our executive producer Simba Ohonde, and then our producer Glory Mabuza. Don't miss the Business Buzz, same time, same place next week for more insight into the world of business. Next up on Vow FM, we have Living Electro, and the Business Buzz is sponsored by Absa. For myself, Mudiwa Mob Justice Gavaza, it's good evening and take care.
Mob Justice on the Business Buzz. The Business Buzz Podcast.